This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Listening to Talk Sports.
Well, let's just ask John which one he uses.
I go with Sprite. Sprite is my favorite mixer. I use Sprite. It's great with vodka. I like it with whiskey. I like it with rum. Sprite is the more versatile.
You're going to do this again?
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Cam, think of this as the coin toss, right? Think of this as the coin toss in the NFL.
That's not
he
how this
chose
works.
To defer, which means I get the ball.
Because everybody who knows you are a Sprite and
exactly.
Whiskey guy.
Sprite.
Which is why
Sprite
I chose
with
Sprite as the topic.
Are you going to argue for Coke or not?
No, I'm not going to argue for Coke.
So Sprite's
when
better.
Do we typically
I mix
decide?
Sprite with my volunteer vodka. It's delicious. You can't mix Coke with vodka. If I want some whiskey, I'm in a whiskey mood. You know I can also mix with whiskey. Sprite.
On 1340 WKGN.
Defend your topic, please. We're running out of time.
I prefer Coke as a mixer with any alcohol. It's going to keep you up longer throughout the night, give you more energy. Coke, much, much better as a mixer than soda. Soda's bad for you. I don't know if you knew this. If you just stick to Coke and vodka, lessens the calories, keeps you up longer throughout the night, you have a much better time. More of a party if you go Coke over Sprite. And you're bound to attract more women.
Hour 3 is brought to you by Craft Axe Throwing. Use promo code FANRUN to get 15% off your axe throwing experience over at Craft Axe Throwing. You can book it in person, online at craftaxethrowing.com. They take walk-ins, obviously, and just go out there and throw some axes. It's a great time to hang out with the boys, with the girls, date nights, stuff like that. It's good for everything. Craft Axe Throwing is great. It's a great place to take advantage of, you know, great beer selection over there at their little bar. You get to throw axes. What more can you ask for? Just use promo code FANRUN and you get 15% off. So take advantage of that deal and get out there to Craft Axe Throwing. Draven, our 3 headlines. What do you got for us?
Going to start with Marcus Peters. A little interesting quote from him, man. What you got to see? Just absolutely dragging the Rams on the Catch and Fades podcast. I'm not sure who runs that podcast. But either way, Peters was on there. He was talking about him getting traded from the Rams. If you don't remember, a couple years ago, he got traded from the Rams to the Baltimore Ravens. The Rams then went on to acquire Jalen Ramsey soon after. That was kind of the whole plan from the get-go. And, man, Peters is still pretty mad about it. He started out the quote, "Bleep the Rams." He said, 2 minutes after trading me, you bring in another guy, Jalen Ramsey, who does the same blank bleep as I do. Maybe a little bit different if we play this compare game. Maybe a little different if we play this compare game. I do a little bit more. Marcus Peters, man. I mean, just dragging the Rams, showing some confidence in himself as well. Do we agree that maybe Marcus Peters, a little underrated as a stud corner?
I sound like Marcus Peters is just a dumbass.
Peters
is not
solid,
better than Jalen Ramsey.
But, yeah, he's not Jalen Ramsey. He's a solid corner, but he's not Jalen Ramsey.
He's Jair Alexander.
He's not even a Jair Alexander.
Bring this guy back in.
The only thing Marcus Peters does better than Jalen Ramsey is he jumps routes a lot.
I was about to say,
he loves trying
probably
to jump routes.
More career interceptions, I would just assume. But, yeah.
Also, he's getting thrown at more than Jalen Ramsey is. But also, like, he loves trying to jump routes, and a lot of times that can bite you. It's one of those things that's either hit or miss, and it bites him quite a bit. So, he's not Jalen Ramsey. The Rams were a weird situation there. I don't blame him for being mad at them.
Yeah.
But
because he wasn't having a terrible year for them
he wasn't.
That past year.
He's still
year,
a pretty
so.
Good corner, but, yeah, I mean – Jalen Ramsey, bro, he's better than you, my man.
Sorry about it. I will say, like you said, if Peters has any case, it is the interceptions. He does have 31 career interceptions going back to his time in Kansas City.
31?
31 career interceptions, yeah. And Jalen Ramsey only has, 11.
How many years has it been?
That's
nuts.
That's absurd. I mean, also,
He had.
They're not throwing at Jalen Ramsey as much. Yeah. That's misleading.
Yeah. But right. he had eight in his first year at Kansas City, six, five. I mean, he's had at least two every single year. And the two was, I mean, actually, I take that back. He had five that year. The least he's had is three in 2018. I mean, that's
31
pretty.
31 sounds like a lot.
That's pretty good. And what? How many years? Only what? 6 years? Five years?
He's an elite corner.
Wow. There's
no doubt.
He does.
Does he have that's maybe nice. Even more of a case to be one of the better corners in the NFL? Because when he went to Baltimore, I don't know about you guys, but it seemed like he was a little bit less in the headlines. I don't know if it was just I just don't remember really seeing him much on the field.
Didn't he have a big play against the Rams specifically, and where he had a pick, and there was this big celebration and big FU to the Rams?
Possibility.
Or is that just a fever dream I'm imagining?
Maybe so. But, I mean, I remember he picked off Russell Wilson when he was with the Ravens, had that long pick six, but that was like 2 years ago. I just remember him really
He's been good. I mean, he's just
pretty consistent,
he's not
too.
Jalen Ramsey, though. You can't knock the Rams for acquiring arguably the best corner in the NFL.
That's fair.
There's no arguably about that.
Yeah, though I'm not faulting really him there at all.
I mean, I agree. He is the best corner in the NFL.
So, Hayden, you're in agreement. It's like, Yair Alexander, not on the same level as Jalen Ramsey.
No, Jalen Ramsey is by far the best. Like, if you look at all the games they played last year against the Seahawks, like, he literally locked down DK Metcalf more than anybody did all year. And DK Metcalf is probably, like, one of the toughest receivers to guard in the NFL. Wouldn't you agree, Charlie, with his speed, his size? I think the stat was he only had like three or four catches on him all year, and he guarded him every play.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he literally best receiver every single time. I don't think Peters follows receivers. I mean, I might be wrong, but I want to say he's just a straight.
I don't think he followed AJ Brown around in that playoff game. Trying to think back.
Yeah. And I mean, Jalen Ramsey is following your best receiver no matter what, and it's one on one pretty much whole game,
yeah,
or at least majority.
Jalen Ramsey's the best receiver, the corner in the NFL. I agree. But in terms of being on the same level, Jair Alexander's in that tier one with Jalen Ramsey, and maybe.
Just trying to think. I mean, who else is top corner in the NFL?
Gilmore, kind of.
Throwing Xavier Howard with the Dolphins, maybe.
Who's the guy on
Tre'Davious
the.
Tre'Davious White.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I was going to go with. That guy plays safety for the Steelers. Fitzpatrick.
Minka, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, people would have made an argument
Marcus
for
Peters.
Slay, but Slay kind of fell off.
Yeah, he didn't do anything in Philly.
Corner's a weird position. You
William
can have
Jackson
a very brief
third.
Time of being the best.
In Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Will you consider him top tier?
Yeah, he's close.
I don't know.
I don't think anybody even knows who that is if you originally said it.
I mean, as far as young guys came in this past year, Terrell was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he
Terrell was pretty good. Yeah. I wouldn't call him a top corner, but like, yeah, he was pretty
Marlon
solid.
Marlon Humphrey.
What about that?
Throw Marlon Humphrey pretty high.
Sean Murphy Bunning for the
Bucks.
Bucks
had a couple guys that played pretty well.
Steven Nelson, maybe.
They had that Jamal Dean guy too, over there in Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Corner's a weird position though.
It is.
Either like you can have like a brief like 3 year period of being elite, and then you like fall off the average.
I mean,
saw it
with Gilmore
nuts.
Last year.
Yeah.
Best corner of all time though, Darrell Revis. Best season the corner's
honestly,
ever had.
Honestly, like, Darrell's stats, if you look at Darrell's stats, it backs him up as, like, being in, like, you know, how much he shut down the field and people avoided him. It puts him in that argument easily for being,
I mean, like, greatest corner ever all time. Like, I'm thinking just playmaker-wise, you got to go prime time, right? Like, Deion Sanders
right,
in that but case. But, like,
best individual season, at least.
They also said Deion Sanders never, like,
Charles
hit anybody.
Was
wasn't
really
much of
a
hitter. Wasn't much of a tackler.
Yeah.
Champ Bailey.
Bailey was really good.
Yeah, he had a good run for a while.
Asante Samuel.
I was about to say Asante with the Patriots.
Namdi
Usamwa.
Yeah, he was good for really good for a brief period too.
Played for the Raiders, right?
Yeah.
For a while.
Then
went to the Eagles. Yeah.
Yeah, he really fell off too, but he was really good for a while. But
corners, like you said, it's a position that comes
position.
And goes.
Yeah,
comes and goes. You get a couple studs. I mean, look now. I mean, we got Patrick Peterson, Richard Sherman. Those have probably been the two, best corners of the – some of the two of the best corners in the past decade, I would say. And they're
–
one's a free agent. I mean, one had to sign as a free agent. Like, they both got cut.
People even had, like, a Dory Jackson is a top 15 corner heading into the last season. And
just
he
a
didn't
brutal
even
year.
Stick around on the roster.
Yeah.
Corner is weird, man. Corner is weird.
Speaking of NFL and just talking about rosters, staying healthy, Dak Prescott, fellas – he said he could go right now. if he played in the game. He said, I could go play in a game right now and be in my head be very, very successful, Chuck. Big words from Dak. He's healthy. He's ready to go, Hayden.
He's
thoughts?
Very successful.
Initial thoughts when you hear that?
They're still not going to win the
garbage
division.
Time. Better watch out. He's going to rack up those fourth quarter stats down 21.
Oh, yeah.
And I will draft him again this year, and he will lead me to victory.
Just wait until he throws those three fourth quarter touchdowns to make it a one possession game. Better watch out, NFC least.
It really is unfortunate that he got hurt. I mean, he killed my fantasy team last year.
Oh, you poor thing.
What did that
mean? You can
replace quarterbacks.
Hayden always gets the injured play.
You can replace quarterbacks. It's a replaceable position.
Do you want me to explain to you why?
No, and nobody cares
about
your fantasy team, Hayden.
Well, I'll just do it real quick. Out of my first six picks last year, Charlie, five of them had season-ending injuries. I mean, it was ridiculous.
So please just don't take any Falcons next year.
Yeah. Stay away from Dak.
I mean, I picked Saquon first, and I picked
sounds like
Sutton,
you're just bad at drafting.
Like, third.
Maybe you should scout durability a little bit better. Maybe that should be higher up in your
program. Saquon's had some injury concerns. Saquon
has consistently been hurt. He's
had some injury issues.
Saquon is on my blacklist of players I won't draft in fantasy.
Yeah, see?
By the way, Pro Football Focus, number one graded corner in the NFL season. This past year,
Malcolm Butler,
Jay Alexander.
Wow,
yeah, he's good. I'm telling you,
I'm not trying to say he's not good, but like to put him on the same level as Ramsey seems a little far fetched.
He definitely is
a little far fetched. But you know, Pro Football Focus, they do their homework, so I'll give you that one. I'll give
they
you
also
Bryce
JG
Callahan, a name
like
we forgot to forget.
The number one quarterback in the country too last year.
They had who?
They had going into last year.
Oh yeah,
they had JG
that is right.
Like the number one quarterback in the country.
That's
like,
not true.
On third and fourth down or something like that.
Yeah. It was like.
There's only three
on
active corners
down,
who have more interceptions than Marcus Peters.
Is that again?
There's only three active corners that have more interceptions than Marcus Peters. Tremont Williams, Richard
Sherman. Williams is still active?
And Jonathan Joseph.
He's alive?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Apparently.
Tremont Williams, who's he playing for?
He may not be on the team, like kind of with the Richard Sherman,
okay,
thing where he's
so
a free agent, but he's been through 20, he at least played last year.
Yeah.
I didn't even think he played last year. Either way, moving
here.
On.
I don't know where, but he's listed through
2020. Bryce Callahan,
on
we forgot to mention.
From the Broncos,
was,
I feel like now we're really stretching.
He was our third-rated corner. I was just throwing him out there.
Okay. On PFF?
Yeah.
Who was second? Ramsey?
Xavier Howard.
Okay.
That
makes sense.
Good, yes.
Ramsey not up there? Either way. Got to move on. Speaking of corners, though, Chuck, Chargers, former corner, Casey Hayward, he will be signing with the Raiders.
Trying to build up that second.
Going to the Vegas.
Huh.
They need it. They need it. The defense has not been very good. We also had, speaking of free agency, Eric Fisher. He visited the Colts last week. Remember him? Left tackle for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yep.
They need it.
They do.
With Costanzo gone, you figure they would have addressed that in the first round.
Did they draft a tackle in any of the – I know their first two picks they didn't. They got
no.
That defensive end from Vandy, second round.
I mean, I think their plan was to probably draft a tackle first round, but then Quiddy Pay fell and they just snatched him up instead.
Back-to-back defensive ends I thought was kind of odd.
I don't like Quiddy Pay
for Indy. Yeah.
And I don't like whatever his name was, Zegbo from Vandy either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of tackles in the NFL, what a tough break for Vol for Life, Juwan James yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up as well.
Tearing his ACL, season-ending ACL injury. And since he was working outside of like the Broncos facility, they are not obligated to pay him, so he could really lose out on
$10 million.
He was owed $10 million this year. He could lose out on,
and he opted out last year.
Yeah,
too.
So
luckily
he's
made a lot.
He was
of money
basically playing
career.
For free almost last year. So like, or not playing last year, but like it's basically almost like a $20 million swing right here for him tearing his ACL and just
hopefully
a tough break for him. Maybe the Broncos, we don't know yet. Broncos may do you know the right thing and like.
Is
pay
it the
him
right
some
thing?
Money.
I wouldn't pay him.
Not from a business perspective, no. But like,
okay, $10 million. Now I can go sign his replacement with like Dennis Kelly with like five of that, six of that. And
yeah,
then,
they got
know,
they got
go
people coming in, but they're you know looking for that job.
Dennis Kelly was
just,
visiting, wasn't he?
Yeah,
pretty sure.
But it's such a tough break for him, man. Like just
yeah.
But I know business wise, like you're like, oh, okay, cool. Like, dang, we lost one of our another offensive linemen, but
the Players Association just needs to negotiate better. Because, I mean, working out, even if you're outside of the facility, should still be considered an extension of your job. Because if you're not working out away from facilities, then you're not meeting the performance expectations and the physicality expectations mm-hmm. that a team would have for you, and you're also putting your own personal health in danger, especially when, you know, COVID restrictions are keeping you out of the facilities anyway. Mm-hmm. So that should be considered an extension of your contract, an extension of what you're working. Now, if he was riding a dirt bike, obviously, or something like that, that's different. Yeah. But working out, I mean, that should be considered, but the NFLPA did not negotiate well enough, and it's not, and it's unfortunately just business. The Broncos, I would not pay him.
I agree, man. It's a business at the end of the day. It's just,
just tough break for him. Yeah. Just tough break for him.
I think he'd also have a better chance to get the money if he, like, played last year.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he's never played for the Broncos, right? I mean, has he? I'm pretty sure he went straight from Miami to Denver last year and didn't play.
And opted out.
Charlie would know, you know.
Yeah, fairly confident he's not played a snap for the Broncos.
So why would they pay him? That's my opinion.
It says 2019, played three games for Denver, started three games, so they might have signed him late in the season towards the end. I don't think they traded him, did they? We didn't trade him. I don't know. It says on his stat sheet, 2019, he played three games in Denver. That was it. Started three games as well, so either way. Interesting, though. Want to wrap it up here with this last quick headline. Phil Mickelson. Cam, you brought up that Super League, the Golf Super League. And what's interesting is a lot of people were, you know, kind of turning it down or just not really talking much about it, not really seeing it as that much of a good idea. Mickelson, on the other hand, man, he saw that money. He said, you know what?
He wants that. He wants that.
Not too
million.
Bad. Yeah, not too bad. He said, I think the fans would love it because they would see the best players play exponentially more times. And he said, instead of four or five times, it would be 20 times. I don't know what the final number is, blah, blah, blah. But he said that this would be good for the fans and would be more exciting for the sport of golf. So Mickelson, he is behind it. The one, pretty much it seemed like the one big-time golfer that they were going after, the one that actually showed a little bit of support for it. So kind of interesting.
Yeah, it feels like, I ain't winning nothing on this other league. If they got to toss me $30 million, I'm in there.
Right.
So
Mickelson chases checks, man. I mean, we're talking about the guy that got in trouble for insider trading.
Go get the bag. Go get the bag, Phil.
Yeah.
Playing on the Champions Tour and dominating everyone at whatever age he is. He's all about the check.
He finally got that W in the match, though, with old Charles Barkley. Wasn't that the group with him and Charles versus Steph and who's the other guy?
I thought they lost.
Phil won. They killed him. It was another athlete that was with Steph.
It wasn't Peyton, was it?
Oh, it might have been. It was.
It was a real golfer. That was so much fun to bet on.
Yeah.
I was betting Charles Barkley to hit fairways, live betting at every hole. That was, Phil Mickelson's 2-1 in the match. He also won the original. That was just him versus Tiger on that little shootout.
Did he win the first one? I thought he lost the first two.
No, he won the first one. Okay. That was just the 1v1 for a mill.
I know that him and Tom lost to Peyton and Tiger, right?
Because there's the country singer, Jake Owen, that tells a story about walking up to Phil Mickelson at a party and complaining about the match not being good enough TV and worth the pay-per-view.
Wow.
And Phil Mickelson just pulls out a wad of cash and said, I made a million of these. Here, take some.
What a legend.
King of the practice round side bets, Phil Mickelson.
No doubt about it.
Is it for headlines?
Yeah, I'm not going to fall for this again, Cam. I'm not going to get all excited to read you guys a nice new headline and you guys cut me off.
I wanted one more.
Give me one more, Draven.
No, move on.
Mr. Fine.
Move on.
All right, well, guess that's in the headlines. Take a break, come back on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill, you want the best medical care available. The vets and staff at Admiral Vet are ready to provide your pet with cutting-edge
All right, back here on the program. Anything we really missed today? No, we got a big game tonight, Hawks Suns.
Ooh.
I thought you were talking about Preds Blue Jackets, my bad.
No, I was not.
Big game for the Preds.
Well, I guess it is a big game for the Preds, you know, trying to make playoffs, you know, yada, 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 that kind of stuff.
What else we got in the association tonight? Any big games?
Oh, yeah, Hawks, Suns, big one, obviously.
Right.
Besides that, not really. Nuggets, Knicks is decent. pretty good. Spurs, Jazz.
Wizards, Bucks. Wizards,
I would say Wizards at the Bucks. Maybe. Wizards, you know, trying to keep their hot streak going.
Knicks, Nuggets ain't bad. Okay. Not terrible.
Yeah, not a great slate tonight in the NBA. Hawks, Suns, wild. And only Suns only favored by 1 point. I'm into that.
Uh-oh. Is somebody out or?
No, Hawks are just good.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Where's it at? Is it at Atlanta? In Atlanta?
It is in Atlanta for sure. Yes, yep. It is. Right. But yeah, no, Hawks Suns is a big one tonight. Besides that, did you see the thing about the baseball ump in the Royals game? It said I basically guessed when they asked him about a call he made in the game.
Yikes.
Umpire Angel Hernandez, he made the wrong call. He said he was basically blinded by the outfield scoreboard in Kansas City. But he had to basically, he said he was forced to guess if a fly ball was caught Tuesday night because of the outfield scoreboard on the wall at Kauffman Stadium, and he guessed wrong.
Oh, no.
It was in the third inning of the Indians-Kansas City game. It was Cleveland Indians, they won 7-3. But KC catcher Salvador Perez hit a fly ball to right center field between the center fielder and right fielder. Harold Ramirez was a center fielder for the team, and he went to catch the ball, and it bounced off the tip of his glove and landed on the warning track. And that's when it got weird. Whit Merrifield was on third base, and he scored the play to give the Royals a 2-0 lead. Somebody, the guy that was on second base, ended up getting caught in between second and third because he was confused about the outcome of the fly ball. Was it caught? Did it drop? They didn't know. He was tagged out before he got back to second base for what looked like to be the second out of the inning. But it wasn't an out because Hernandez thought the ball was caught. He basically signaled that the fly ball was an out, which basically led to just confusion across, obviously, the field, like the people on base, stuff like that. And, so I guess he wasn't tagged out because technically, you know, he called it an out. But they awarded a guy third base in the move. It was just a whole mess all around. But basically, he literally said, like, oh, I basically guessed.
Why would you say that, man?
It's
miraculous that Angel Hernandez still has a job. It's a disgrace to the MLB that he still has a job. He's past the point of even being a meme of a bad umpire to just being, like, why is he still here?
Yeah, that's rough.
I can't remember the last time he's umpired a game and there hasn't been a complaint.
I feel like as a ref, tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you kind of have to like just kind of die with the lie. Like when you make a call and you know it was wrong, or you at least like saw the replay and was like, well, that was wrong. I feel like you just gotta ride with it, man. Right? You can't just go on there after them.
They've
just like,
shown
I don't
for
know.
So long though that there aren't any consequences for his poor umpiring.
Yeah, that's true.
Might as well just be like, yeah. Oops, I missed that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Did it affect the outcome?
No, I don't think so.
What was the top score?
7-3.
Royals?
Indians.
I don't know. I mean, the Royals were on base.
I mean... Yeah, but it was an out, and he called it, you know, obviously, like, not a catch.
So it got overturned.
They did end up going back and overturning it, because, like, they all got together.
Oh, I'm watching the video. This is bad. It was really not
that
close.
Bad? Yeah.
They didn't review it?
No, all the umpires, like, got together and, I guess, talked about it, and they said they corrected the issue. I don't know what extent, you know, that meant. I don't know if they, you know. But it didn't seem. It said the Royals didn't score the rest of the inning. I mean, the Indians scored 4 runs in the 8th inning to win the game, but.
Cleveland manager Terry Francona on what he said to umpire Angel Hernandez after that bizarre call. Quote, I just kind of told Angel. Why is it always you? Why is it always happening when you're here?
Oh my gosh!
Yikes.
So he is that bad, right?
Oh, and yeah. You should know the names of the umpires in the games like that. That's nuts.
Your mic's off, Hayden.
Sorry.
Just leave it on.
I thought I did. I didn't know I turned it off.
But what I said was that
you shouldn't know the names of the umpires or referees in the games, in my opinion.
How many umpires can you name in the MLB? Like,
just one.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, you know the NFL referees just because, like, you know the head guys because they're always talking, and they have one dude's like ripped. Which what's that? Ed Hockey League?
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about.
He still refs, right?
I think so.
Okay, don't remember him on the field much. But
yeah, and Jerome Boger, that's his name, right? The black dude. I just remember he did a lot of Titans games last year.
Yes, he sucks. He's the worst.
But yeah, this is a bad look for Major League Baseball, I would say. Just on, you said, and if he's known for being a bad official, like, why does he still have a job?
The Indians broadcasters went in on Angel Hernandez.
That is so bad.
Tom Hamilton.
I just watched the video. That is terrible.
Tom Hamilton went off on him. The Indians broadcaster, he hit him with he finished off his little rant by saying, quote, oh no, I just lost it. Where'd it go? It froze on me. Quote, it'll be hard to sleep tonight with the anticipation of Angel Hernandez working the game behind the plate tomorrow.
Jeez.
Yeah, it just looks like mass confusion when you watch this video. But
why is MLB not cracking down on this a little bit more?
I mean, they're just poorly run, poorly managed, poorly everything. You know, they still can't even figure out how to not black out Nationals games in the state of North Carolina. Like, they suck.
Or Braves games here. Oof. But it could have affected the score. Hayden kind of asked that earlier. I mean, the Kansas City was up 2-0. They were kind of rolling. And, like, even if that ball was caught, they could have tagged and went. But, you know, with the confusion, they ended up just being all over the place. So, yeah. It definitely could have affected the score a little bit. Obviously, I don't think it completely affected the outcome, but just not a good look at all for them to miss a call like that. And then the guy just like, oh yeah, I guessed. You got to just own it, like Draven said, just be like, yeah. Oh yeah, I thought it was caught. That's my bad, I guess. Like, I was pretty sure.
I wouldn't even say that. I'd be like, I saw it different.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Something like that. But
I saw the field. It didn't look that way to me.
Not a good look at all.
It's just not really a judgment call when it's just a drop fly ball.
Yeah, that is true, I guess.
It's not like it was a tag that was like close call there. Yeah. It was if a guy caught the ball or not. Like, it's a very obvious thing.
It wasn't even like, oh, it got like wedged against
and the guy
wall,
that he thought caught the ball wasn't even the one that like threw it in. Like, the other guy picked up the ball and threw it in. Like, that should be pretty obvious, but whatever.
I was daydreaming.
Yeah.
That should have been the answer. I was just thinking about what I was going to eat for dinner.
Yeah, but
they have good barbecue out here in Kansas City. Man, I just couldn't wait to tear in. I was thinking about my order. I forgot baseball.
Refs are humans, too. Refs are humans, too, Chuck.
Umpires. Refs, umpires. Use the correct terminology.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Baseball.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not a great look there, but
at least they ran it out.
See what you did there. But not a great look there. We're going to catch a break and come back with overrated, underrated on the other side. I think Hayden's got a Cinco de Mayo edition.
Uh-oh.
We're getting crazy in here. Uh-oh. Yeah, stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks. Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with the easiest new car buying experience out there. It's easy. In the Mitsubishi at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with payments as low as $179 a month. Plus, we're giving you $4,000 over KBB for your trade and $8,000 off of an addendum. It's easy in the Mitsubishi. If you're upside down in your vehicle, we can get you out so you have nothing to worry about because it's easy in the Mitsubishi. Not only that, but your new Mitsubishi from Alban Franklin Motors comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty because it's easy in the Mitsubishi.
Okay, for the podcast people. We're playing overrated, underrated, Cinco de Mayo edition.
Oh, yeah! I'm assuming there's going to be margaritas in this.
It'll be basic. Don't spoil it.
Margaritas, burritos, sombreros. I'm going to throw a weird one in there at the end.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll see.
Are you deleting stuff?
Yeah, as I say, he's going to change it all.
He's adding it.
Okay, first, chips and salsa from local Mexican restaurants.
Oh,
yeah, has to be local.
Emphasizes local.
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna lean overrated just because it's everybody gives them out. You know, they're always there. You go in expecting it, And I think it depends, too. Some places have better salsa than other places, for sure. And some of those places can be underrated. But I think for the majority, it's overrated. Because who's saying no? Nobody's going to be like, oh, chips and salsa are here on the table for free? Yeah, I'm not going to touch any of that. I'm not going to touch a single thing there. No, people aren't doing that. Everybody's always diving in like, oh, no, crap, I just ruined my meal because I ate this entire basket of chips and salsa.
Yeah,
everybody loves them. Everybody loves them. So I gotta go a little overrated.
Listen, man, from a local Mexican restaurant, Hayden, it is underrated. Because you are right, Cam. Everybody, mm-hmm. big chains, all these people are pumping out salsa. But you can tell. You can tell the difference between, like, freshly made salsa in a local place and instead of the big chains. You can tell.
Yep.
I mean, and you're right. Like, there's just some salsas that just aren't very good. There's some salsas that are just kind of bland. Like, you go to some of these bigger chains, in my opinion, I feel like they get a little bit more bland. But some of these local places, man, when you get that perfect just amount of spice, a little kick to it, maybe even a little chunky in there, if you like a little chunky, oh, man.
I like
some locally made salsa, woo-wee. That's what's up. And also, for a lot of people, and myself included, like, the chips and salsa are a big deal, man. Like, that's a big deal. Because all these different places, nobody really provides that. Like, you have a lot of restaurants who can provide bread, do different things like that. But the chips and salsa, it's a special thing when it comes from a local place like that, when it comes from a Mexican restaurant in general. That's something that people look forward to. Sometimes, in fact, I fill up on the chips and salsa, Chuck. I hate to do it. I can't stop, though, man. They're just sitting
there
right in front
overrated.
Of you. And they keep bringing those damn chips out, like you said. It's like, damn it. I got to wait for my entree, man, but I just can't stop. Underrated. So
good. That's why they're overrated, because you fill up on mediocre chips and salsa before you even get your meal, and then it just ruins your dinner. You're not there for the chips and salsa. You're there for
I think you're wrong there. I think people are there for the chips and salsa.
Or my personal favorite, a nice chimichanga.
Love a good chimmy, man.
Then you get to the chimmy, but you're like, oh, I wish I wouldn't eat all those mediocre chips
and
salsa.
It's true, but to say
there is an exception, though. If they have a good pineapple salsa, then it becomes underrated.
Pineapple?
Yes.
Just like a pineapple-infused salsa? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, like
just pineapple got
pineapple infused.
Okay.
Then it becomes underrated, but if not, overrated.
That's interesting. A little sweet and spicy, kind of sounds like.
Not
right?
even spicy.
Just a little sweet?
Sweet and mild.
Okay.
All right. Next, we have margaritas.
Wow.
Well, I mean, y'all spoiled it. All right.
Oops.
Burner.
I think margaritas are underrated because I think they get the stigma. Everybody's like, you just need it when it's summery, when it's hot out, or it's a girl drink. I think it's that stigma a lot. But margaritas are hitting. Anything with tequila in it, I'm usually in on. So I'm cool with margaritas. I love a good margarita. They got a bunch of different flavors, too. That's the other cool thing. You can get salt on the rim. You can get sugar on the rim. There's lots of stuff you can do with your margarita. You can make margaritas at home. Margaritas are a good drink. Drink more margaritas, people. I'm a big proponent for margaritas. They are underrated. I may have to go get one today.
They're overrated, Cam. We talked a little bit about this at the beginning of the show.
Briefly discussed
margaritas.
Definitely
briefly talked margaritas. Like we said, headache, too much sugary stuff. I don't know what it is.
Sorry y'all aren't built different.
If I'm gonna drink some tequila, man, just give me a shot. Like, that's my thing with tequila. Like, I don't want to put tequila in stuff that much. I don't think tequila's a good mixer. It's not.
It's good with
like, the
juice.
One thing that's good is margaritas. And honestly, I'd rather just take a shot of it. Is it just me? Margaritas, again, headache. They make me feel a little heavy. People drink them in the summer. They think they're so light. Anytime I drink one, I'm like, buh, in my opinion. I just think they're a little heavier than people give them credit for. Overrated completely.
Couldn't agree more with Draven. Very, very overrated. Unless you're getting the bougie ones that don't have the classic, you know, little sweet and sour mix in them.
Yeah.
If you're getting, like, the nice ones where they really go all out, then, you know, they're properly rated. Maybe. But, you know, your average margarita is severely overrated. You're catching a stomach ache. You're catching a headache before you're catching a buzz most of the time. Just give me a daiquiri or give me a pina colada.
If you are going to do something sweeter like that, you might as well go sweet. I agree.
Might
give me a pina.
Steer
give me a pina colada.
Steer in the skid, go sweet.
Ugh. Hate margaritas.
Wow.
A little daiquiri with a 151 floater.
Ooh. Hey now.
All right. So we done? Y'all done with that one?
Yeah, I guess
okay.
so.
Next we have Churros.
Churros.
Ugh. Y'all weren't expecting that, were you?
That was a plot twist.
You got me.
Unexpected churros.
You actually got me, Hayden.
Curveball. Churros. I'm going to be honest. I've never actually eaten a churro.
I'm trying to think, man.
I'm going to go underrated, though, because I feel like I don't hear people talk about them a ton. That's one of the things on the Mexican food spectrum, but I don't hear people talk about a ton. So for that reason, I'm going to go underrated. I may have to try a churro soon, though.
I want to say I've had a churro before. I can't think of a specific time that I've ate a churro, but I will say, I mean, probably properly rated, right? Like, they don't, like, I feel like Mexican food, Mexican restaurants, like, don't have many other dessert options, right? Like, I mean, this is pretty much
ice
it.
Cream.
Okay.
Sopapillas.
What's that?
It's like the little thing with the stuff.
That makes sense. So, probably not all those places are off. Almost every menu, I feel like, has churros, right? Other than, you know, maybe whatever you just said.
Little dessert nachos.
Just, what's that? Just sugar on nachos? Is that what we're talking
about?
Yeah,
it's like a nice dessert chip with, you know, the ice cream and the sundae sauce and the cinnamon.
I need to try a churro as well, honestly. I mean,
you
looks like
had
you can
them either?
I don't think so. I really don't.
As a man that's eating churros, I'll tell you that they are definitely overrated. I feel like a hater here because I've gone overrated on all three of these topics, but I mean,
a little bit of a hater.
Churros are
what
like,
about the whole dipping it in chocolate and different sauces? Is this not appealing?
Like, churros just like they're the blue balls of dessert. You know, they smell so good.
Yeah.
You walk into a place that's making churros and oh mm-hmm. my goodness, they are to die for that smell. You think, oh, I need all of them. Give me every churro you've ever made in the last 15 years. I'll eat them all. And then you just get one, you bite into it about halfway through. You're like, I don't even know if I want the rest
it's
of this.
Soft,
it just
right?
doesn't taste that great. Yeah.
It's soft. Okay. I didn't know if it was
kind of like the donut-y. Well, like, it's like a,
that's
nice, like a warm glazed donut, how it kind of dissolves in your mouth a little bit. It's got that same mm-hmm. feel to it. But, I mean, it's just
sounds good. It's like more dry than a donut.
Yeah, it's
I
a
think.
Little bit drier.
What about, what did you not like, Hayden?
I only had one. I think it was in Disney World, and it was like, I don't know. It's hard to describe. It was literally just like, it's a cinnamon sugar stick, and I thought it was very dry when you like bit into it.
Yeah,
is that what you thought, Charlie? I mean,
just,
I think it's pretty
it's
dry.
Not
on the
good. It's not nearly as good as it smells, so it just makes it disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh, it just looks. It looks so heavenly. It smells so heavenly.
It does.
Fair point.
That it does.
Okay. Next, we have sombreros.
Sombreros. I'm going to go overrated just because that's the go-to thing when people are like, oh, I want to look Hispanic or, you know, try and, you know, dress up in anything in that, you know, that capacity. They go with a sombrero. They throw it on. They do stuff like that. The only sombrero that I respect is the one from Despicable Me 2 where it's filled with salsa and it was a chip sombrero. That's my kind of sombrero. One that's edible? No, that's a sombrero right there. But normal sombrero, they're not even a good fashion choice. I gotta go overrated. I'm not rocking any sombreros.
This is also overrated. Listen, when you guys go to the restaurants, don't put the hat on. Because there ain't no telling how many people put that hat on, Chuck. You know, they always put the hat on you when you it's your birthday. They're bringing out the churro. Oh, they usually bring out churros for you, too. I've noticed that. It's a little unsanitary. A lot of people been in that hat.
You think I would ever care how many people will put on a hat?
I care.
Is that something
I care.
Should be concerned
And I think
about?
You should care. Yes, sombreros again.
Y'all get lice.
Exactly.
Lice know better than to touch me.
Oh.
Sombreros are underrated. Sombreros are driptastic.
Driptastic.
A fantastic fashion choice, and I certainly can rock one. Except I think, have they become problematic lately? Is that one of those things that you're not supposed to wear anymore?
I feel like, yeah. It's not even that. It's just the fact people are like, oh, I'm going to dress up as like I'm Mexican and, you know, kind of do that. I don't know.
Well, let me present you a better option then. Panama hats. A nice Panama hat. Best choice out there for weird hats.
The only people that should be wearing these hats is, what is the band that plays together? Like, it's usually
mariachi.
Three or four.
Mariachi.
That's it. Yes.
Yeah, mariachi band.
Those guys.
Underrated.
They have earned the right to wearing a sombrero hat. Anybody else? I don't know. I don't know about it.
Yeah. All right.
Last a celebration of our list being complete now. A pinata.
A pinata, okay.
I'm gonna start here. Pinatas are awesome, man. I think it is a great idea. The fact that you get to beat the hell out of something, right, and still and get rewarded for it is, in my opinion, really cool. How often do you get those opportunities? Not very often, unless you're what, a professional boxer. Like, come on, just getting to beat the hell out of somebody, getting paid or getting rewarded. I wouldn't say paid, but I get rewarded for it. That's great, man. Good for kids. Good for adults. I wouldn't mind banging around a pinata myself. Take out some anger. Just swing with everything. Ugh, feel good.
I'm gonna,
and then get a little piece of candy afterwards.
I'm going to piggyback off of what Draven said and also agree that they are underrated. Because what a drunk young males love to do? Destroy things. One of the most destructive things on this planet, not hurricanes, not tornadoes, just drunk young males. They can really mess some stuff up. And instead, you get to channel that into a positive with the pinata. You just get to beat something to a pulp. And like you said, there's a little reward after. It's pretty cool.
It's also funny watching the people that walk in a circle with the blindfold on and they're just swinging
every once
at
in
nothing.
A while you get the cool home video of the kid accidentally, you know, hitting his dad in the balls instead of the pinata. That's a plus.
Exactly.
You get to fill it with anything you want, you know?
Right.
You can get creative.
You can.
Channel your creative instincts.
Doesn't even have to be candy.
Money. Tylenol.
True.
I am a big pinata person. I will say pinatas are underrated. Pinatas are sweet. One, like you said, like you just get to beat the mess out of something. That's always fun time. Mm-hmm. That's always a good time. Get some anger out. Get some frustration out. See how good you can actually swing a bat. That kind of stuff. And then, there's a reward. For beating the mess out of something. You get rewarded. So you get your own little candy, whatever comes out of the pinata. And I'm a big candy person, so obviously anything that has candy, I'm absolutely all in for. Pinatas are great. And like you said, kids love them. They're a big hit at birthday parties. There should be more pinatas. Kids would go crazy if you just had a bunch of pinatas everywhere.
Is there an age cutoff for hitting a pinata or no?
I'm going to say no, because I'm pretty sure people have used them for, like, gender reveals and stuff. Now.
Okay. Now, that's a
better
good point.
Better than fire.
That's very true.
Better than explosions and stuff. I'd get a pinata. Like, if somebody had a pinata for me at my next birthday, I'd be ecstatic.
I think maybe we should chip in and just get a pinata for the station and just have a little pinata celebration next week.
Yeah.
Hmm, we could.
That would be fun.
What are we celebrating?
Life. Waking up.
Fair enough.
Enjoying each other. Relationships.
Cinco de Mayo.
I'd be in for a pinata. I don't even really know where to buy a pinata, but...
At the pinata store.
Ah, yes, pinatas.
Actually, I bet Party City has them.
Party City definitely has them.
I got everything.
You have like a go-to animal for your pinata, or your shape, or anything?
I feel like you gotta get the llama.
Okay, yeah, llama's a good
Seems
one.
Seems necessary, right?
Yeah.
Llama's a good one.
There was a minor league team in Hickory, North Carolina, where I was living a couple summers back.
Yeah.
That did a Mexican Heritage Night. And instead of the Hickory Crawdads, they were the Llamas Dale Hickory. And their logo was a llama pinata.
Was it the one off Fortnite? Or
that's
they just,
literally what I was picturing just... in my head.
Honestly, kind of similar. I have a hat. I'll wear it.
Wear it in tomorrow.
I should have worn it today. It's sick.
Yeah, what are you doing?
What
are wow, what are you doing,
blowing
man?
It, Chuck. You're blowing it.
It's Preds Day, you know.
Well, we went really long on this today. Segment. We're going to take a very quick break and come back on the other side. Sox Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, last call on the program is brought to you by the G3 Help Me Hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Or visit g3helpme.com or call them at 865-558-8030, serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's g3helpme.com. I'm sure the drive will be taking plenty of calls on the G3 Help Me hotlines. But we got a real quick last call here. I guess I have a quick story. I got Maryland woman. Okay, we'll stop.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
All right, Maryland woman set home on fire with person inside, then sat in lawn chair to watch. A Maryland woman is facing a host of charges after setting a home on fire with person inside. She sat outside the lawn chair to watch, according to law enforcement. The deputy state fire marshal says 47-year-old Gail Metwally set several fires inside the home on Cherry Lane. When firefighters arrived, they said the house was engulfed in flame and Metwally had been sitting in a lawn chair watching the scene. She later walked away. Witnesses say another person could be heard crying for help in the basement and they helped her up through a window. So, wow, so she really was just sitting here watching this house burn in there suddenly. Lord have mercy. Said the deputies caught Metwally in the area and transferred her to state police. After the fire marshal's investigation, Metwally was charged with first and second degree attempted murder, first degree arson, first degree assault, two counts of first degree malicious burning, two counts of malicious destruction of property, and two counts of reckless endangerment. Yeah, so,
jeez.
She shared the house with three other people. Two of the residents were not home. But yeah, she's facing all those charges.
Do we have any motives?
They didn't have any in the article. She's smiling in her mugshot, so I'm assuming she was happy with what she's done.
Oh, no.
But, I think she just hated her roommates.
Okay, well,
so
that's a different kind of hate, but
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah, tempted to take them out. That's one way to do it,
maybe
I guess.
Next time they won't mess with their food, you know?
Maybe.
Mess with their cereal.
Maybe, but good job by y'all today. Appreciate y'all holding it down when I was not here for 15 or so minutes. We'll be back tomorrow. Drive's up next. Stick with us here at Fan Run Radio.